Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, guys? This is Young Shot here back with me. And we're here with the Angry Fanatics podcast. We're going to talk some NBA. I got my co-host here with Keanu and also George Chadwick. What's up, guys? How you guys doing today?
What's going on? What's going on? How y'all doing, bro?
How you guys doing today? How we doing? How we doing?
You doing fine. And this is the first NBA podcast that we're going to be doing for today, so let's get it started. This is the Angry Fanatics podcast. I know you didn't hear from us a while. I know, Keanu, you did the Bills podcast just recently. We gotta give you guys more content, guys. Trust us. But let's get started with the NBA podcast first. So, guys, what's your thoughts about the NBA offseason before we even get into the season? It was just basically, what was the craziest things that you guys saw during the offseason that really intrigued you? Even when we was dwindling down from the preseason going into the regular season, especially with the D-Wade signing to the Cavaliers, getting basically released from the Bulls going to the Cavaliers.
Take it away, George. Start it off, babe.
All right, well, let's just start off by saying the most interesting thing this summer was that honestly, it was just the Rockets in general. I mean, just the Thunder in general. How they gave up completely nothing for two Hall of Famers. Let's just go ahead and say that. They gave up completely nothing for two Hall of Famers. So the simple fact that they were able to get both of those players for nothing, for just Steven Adams, which is the best player they traded away, was Steven Adams. I mean, not Steven, Enes Kanter. They still got Steven Adams.
Yeah.
And it was Kanter. So that was the best player that they traded away just to get Melo. I don't even remember who did they trade for Paul George? I mean, he came over free agency. No.
Sabonis and Oladipo.
They traded Sabonis and Oladipo. Yeah, like, that was amazing. Their management did a great job. I still don't like the team, but their management did a great job with that one. I mean, I wasn't surprised about it. I mean, like I said, D-Wade's my favorite player. I wasn't surprised that he went there. I wasn't expecting him to go back to Miami. So I was honestly expecting him to go back where LeBron was. So, and that was Cleveland. It happened to be Cleveland. So I was definitely, like, not surprised about that. And then I just do want to give a little small props to the Rockets. I mean, not even a props. I give a little small little congratulations to the Rockets. I mean, they made their team a little bit better by getting Chris Paul. Granted, he hasn't played this year except for one game, but I think when they get everything together, I think they'll be fine.
Up, Kyle. My fault. Keanu?
I mean, me personally, I think the most shocking thing I've seen this off season was the Kyrie trade, was him requesting a trade in general. It just came out of nowhere to me. You know, I was working one day, all of a sudden I'm getting tagged and stuff left and right. All of a sudden, boom, Kyrie wants a trade. That to me was the biggest situation that happened all off season. And I mean, I feel like we kind of saw it gelling. We saw what it could be, especially when Kyrie was at one of the Warriors players' weddings. They were all clowning on LeBron, and he's just laughing with them too. We saw something happening there. And we've always seen, you know, the mix-up with chemistry between the two, but I didn't expect that, to be real with you. I just woke up, went to work, saw it, and I was like, damn. I can't believe that actually happened. But you know what? Hey, good for him. He wants his own team. Perfect. The next thing that really caught my eye was Chris Paul not signing with the Spurs. I know everyone might pass that away. Oh, he's with James Harden. I'll be honest with you. When I heard the Spurs were going after him, I thought it was a wrap. I'm like, okay, we finally got a team that can test with the Warriors. But he didn't choose to go to the Spurs. He went to the Rockets. And I'm still in shock that he chose the Rockets over the Spurs. Still. But you know what? Hey, it is what it is. Western Conference is a whole... It's a whole big showdown now. I really don't think the Thunder are going to do much, to be honest. I might be one of the only people who feels that way, but, hey, I think that's a whole team full of offense, no defense at all. I don't think they're going to be able to outscore a lot of teams going forward. But, hey, that's just me.
All right, for me, the biggest and interesting thing, obviously, me being a Knicks fan, is just the Melo trade. I already know the Melo trade was going to happen, but I didn't think it was going to happen like this. We got pretty much we basically traded Melo for a bag of potato chips. And, like, literally, he literally said that. I mean, I'm being serious, guys. Like, he literally said that as soon as he got traded. Like, we literally, Phil Jackson is trying to trade him for a bag of potato chips during the draft. As soon as Phil Jackson gone, literally Perry from the Kings, the vice president from the Kings, basically stepped in and basically traded Melo for a bag of chips, which was pretty much Enes Kanter and Doug McDermott, both on 1 year, which is a pretty solid contract, but now it's really affecting the young players. I guess they're going to have to show up. Regardless or not, Melo is on the Thunder for a bag of chips. As I feel the Thunder have a chance that can basically to beat the Warriors, I still feel like they don't have the right players for it. Like, obviously, like you said, it's mostly offense, no defense. They do have defensive elements, though, that I feel like they could utilize, but I feel like it's going to take away time from the star players like Paul George, Russell, and Melo. More importantly, Melo. He's not a guy that I will put against the Warriors just due to the simple fact that I feel like he is past the time to basically guard against people that aren't in their prime right now, such as KD, such as Clay, such as Dre, such as Curry. Like, I don't think he's going to be able to do that. But I feel like they do have elements to basically not beat, but basically hang in there against the Golden State Warriors. Now, another thing also is the weirdest situation between the Pelicans and basically whether or not if they, depending free agency with DeMarcus Cousins now, they got Rondo, and I know they wasn't the most important thing or the most important team out there, but I feel like they didn't really help their case to basically, you know, show impressions that Cousins should stay on the team. Now, I don't know what's going to happen during this season, during the regular season, but I feel as though Cousins, AD, and just the simple fact that they just brought in Rondo with Jrue Holiday, I don't think it's going to really work out that way. Again, New Orleans is a small market, but I expected a little bit more better from free agency from the Pelicans. All right, so let's now move on to the most shocking revelation of the most shocking injury that just came up. And it was the first game of the season. You got the Celtics and the Cavaliers. You feel like, okay, they're going toe-to-toe. Obviously, Kyrie. The storyline is definitely Kyrie versus LeBron. Who's going to pull it out? Who's going to win? Who's the person that made the right decision? And all of a sudden, the newly acquired Gordon Hayward from the Utah Jazz, a star small forward, gets injured on a play, throwing up alley-oop, which he awkwardly lands on his legs and ankle. And boy, what a scene it was in Quicken Loans Arena. Tell me your thoughts, guys. What do you think about it?
That thing was gruesome. It's not funny. It's ironic because this is the second injury I didn't saw like that, like it happened on TV when I was just watching it. I saw the Kevin Ware injury a couple years back when that had happened. So it's like, you just see that stuff and it's sad, you know, you've seen it live and it just takes the hopes out the arena too. I mean, like they still have a decent team, but like, You put all your money in a bread basket like that. I mean, yeah, he was your second best player, but like that's a big blow. And like I said, I mean, I pray for his recovery and everything. I hope he gets better, but like it's just sad seeing that though. And it was a bad moment to look at. And like one other thing too, let me recognize this. I don't like how people was trying to blame LeBron or Jay Crowder, how they undercut him, blah blah blah. If that's the case, then if you're gonna blame anybody, why would you throw a oop like that in between two people and go up for it? It's nobody's fault. It's a freak accident. That can happen to anybody. Like, stop blaming people for it.
Yeah,
I mean, the sad thing about the whole situation is that even with the Kevin Ware and the Paul George injury, man, those are just regular plays. Like, it's just contesting a shot or jumping up to, you know, to catch a lob. It's like, just a normal play that it just looks so gruesome and it scares you because it can happen at any moment, dude. It can really happen at any moment. to see that happen to Gordon Hayward was a shame. It was really bad. It's one of those things where you want to close your eyes and you want to press the rewind button and just tell them, yo, don't do that, man. You don't want to jump right now. The whole play in general, I really didn't have a problem with it. It was a backdoor screen to have him run out and catch the lob. My only issue is that you got LeBron sitting right there as the helper. Gordon Hayward is not going to yam it on LeBron James. It's just not going to happen. So there's going to be contact going up. I wouldn't throw that to him personally, but in the heat of the moment in the game, that's the play call. You got to do what you got to do. But it really sucks, man, because that's their second score. That was going to be their anchor when Kyrie couldn't be, which is, hardly ever. But that's going to be your second guy. Now I look at the Celtics team, I'm like, well, who's going to step up? And I look at a guy like Jaylen Brown playing really well. And I'm looking at a guy like Jason Tatum who could score the ball with the best of them. I think they're going to be okay because they do have a very young, talented team mixed in with some veterans here and there. But I don't know, man. A loss like that is going to be hard to challenge a team like the Cavaliers with, if you ask me.
All right, so with me with the Gordon Hayward situation, pretty much when I saw the injury, I just automatically closed my eyes. I literally turned away from my TV. I pretty much could not see my TV for a good – give it two to three minutes. I did not look at my TV for a good 2-3 minutes. Once I saw the injury, once I saw the bone popped out from the ankle, it just looked gruesome. It was probably – I wouldn't say Paul George injury was a little bit worse. I feel Paul George injury was still the most gruesome injury I ever saw. You actually saw the leg snap. Also, the Kevin Ware injury was kind of weird, but Gordon Hayward's injury
was up there. I thought the Kevin
Ware
was the worst. Just me. I thought the Kevin Ware thing was horrible.
That
the
Kevin
bone
was
coming out.
The bone came out. Like, yeah, his whole bone was out. I got to say that was the worst.
That's like some Mortal Kombat stuff. Like, you, like, finish him, dude. And it's like Scorpion comes and rips the damn bone out the body. I was in shock, dude.
Yeah, but just seeing that it really hurts me just, like, knowing Gordon Hayward. I mean, not knowing Gordon Hayward, but just knowing how he is, just looking how Dude plays and how Dude, actually plays for his fans. Like, Dude play hard every night. And then seeing that and seeing him just playing the first game of a new team and everything, he must have been all excited to show out for the Boston fans. And then that just happened. So it's going to be tough for the Celtics. I feel Tatum and Brown has been stepping up really well. Horford has been a really good defender for the team. And they got a bunch of young pieces. But, again, that's a big blow, especially when your second star is down. And Kyrie cannot handle the load, and you expect these young guys, especially Brown and Tatum, to handle what they can handle pretty much on their first and second years. It's going to be tough for them, and I feel like the Celtics, when Kyrie is not an option, they're not going to have much options left besides from, obviously, Al Horford and whoever they can deem that can step up and score for them. So, especially in the Eastern Conference, when you know the Cavaliers is going to be the only thing that stands between you and first place is the Cavaliers. Now it looks wide open for the Cavaliers to get the first, and the second team, obviously, it still could be Boston, but now it's open up for Washington, it's open up for Toronto, it's open up for those teams to overtake that second spot now. So you got to watch
Milwaukee
out for that.
Too, man.
Milwaukee
too.
As well, my fault. So, yeah, it's like that Gordon Hayward injury, that gruesome it is. I feel like Celtics really took a loss right there. Regardless of not, I mean, losing your second player and now you have to depend on rookies and pretty much the second-year players, it's going to be tough for them. So now let's move on to a rookie that we've been talking about. I'm pretty sure everybody's been talking about in the media. Talk about Lonzo Ball. Now, in a couple of games, have you guys noticed, and I'm pretty sure you guys noticed, every player has been calling him out. It seems like he's just been pressured to basically play good at almost every game by the media. Do you feel like the pressure, especially placed on media and also his dad, we're not going to mention that, but do you feel like the pressure is getting to him? especially how he starts now. Like, I know his stats is pretty much he's averaging 8 points, you know, almost near, pretty much averaging almost near 10 assists and getting about like 8 rebounds a game, which is pretty good stats for a rookie. But you do you feel like the pressure is getting to him? And do you feel like the pressure is good for him?
I'll start off on this one. I don't think the pressure is getting to him. One thing you'll notice about him, like out of all three, like Lonzo, I mean, LaVar's kids, he's probably one of the most quiet ones. I mean, yeah, you might hear him talk shit every once in a while, but granted, you're not gonna hear him talk shit that much. So with him, I mean, he's people give him so much crap, and it's not his fault. He literally is there just to play basketball. He's not there for no show, or he's just there to play basketball. That's what he's there for. And I'm pretty sure, like, people actually notice that, like, that's what he's there for. He's not talking crap on the floor or anything. He's there to play basketball. He's there for what he wants to do. But granted, like I said, though, I don't think he's playing bad. He's playing what I expect him to do, to be honest with you. I mean, I wasn't expecting no 20-point performance out on every game or anything. I think he's going to average, like, 13 points. Yeah, I think he's going to average like 13 points this season with like eight assists, 6 rebounds. I mean, and I'll consider it a good year. I didn't have him winning my rookie of the year anyway as it was, but I think he's going to have a decent year though. And he's going to elevate the team a little bit though. So I mean, you got to give him time to develop. And I mean, after a while, you'll see. I mean, he'll get better.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I couldn't agree anymore. Nah, definitely, I couldn't agree anymore. So, you know, the thing is, I think. First of all, every point guard is going to come at him. And let's just be real. Every single point guard is going to come at him. That's just the way it is. His dad wrote him a check that he can't cash. That's the reality of the game, dude. Anybody who's ever played ball, you understand. When somebody's talking, especially when somebody from the sidelines, not even the person in the game that you got to play against, when their parents are talking, that's my son. He's going to ball out. You ain't ready for him. You put Lonzo on the Warriors, you take Curry off, and they win more games. Like, come on, dude. Come on. He has to expect it, and I'm sure he does. Let me tell you, his dad got a loud mouth, but he's quiet. He's very quiet. Humble. I mean, yeah, like George said, he'll talk a little shit. That's the nature of the game. We all going to talk shit. Once you step on that court, it's a wrap. But every guard in the league, especially when LeBron comes. I can't wait for LeBron to get him in a pick-and-roll situation just to switch up on him and take his ass right to the paint. That's what it is, man. This is ball. It's not for the faint of heart. So knowing all of that, I've liked the way he played so far. I've liked the way he's played. Again, to agree with Chad, I've never expected him to come in and drop 30 points a night and do these inches and put up these crazy stat lines. He's a point guard. He is a true point guard. There to facilitate the offense, to move the ball, and to keep the pace going, push the pace when it needs to be pushed. He can shoot. He can drive. He has, you know, amazing athletic ability. But his IQ is what makes him Lonzo Ball, what makes him so special. The way he's able to run an offense. That's why Magic loves him. And that's what got him that high, you know, draft pick. Because he can run the offense great. Like, nobody else in the draft could. Like, no one else in the draft in a long time could. So, again, when you realize, when you push the hype away and you realize what he's actually there to do, lower the expectations a little bit, then you can honestly sit here and say, well, he can have a great year with us. He can have a very good year, especially with all the talent they have around him. So, I like the way he's been playing so far. I got no problems with him. He needs to just block out all the noise. He's going to get some real tough matchups coming up, man, when he got to play Westbrook and Curry and Dame Dollar. So he better put his pants on and just, you know, man up, boy. Man up.
Now, this is going to be a side question basically with Alonzo, but just not even about Alonzo, just about the Lakers in general. Pretty much you see these games, you see that Jordan Clarkson, Kyle Kuzma, do you feel they have a more added motive to basically go out there and just basically put up points just to show them a thing or two, like the Lakers are not to be pushed over completely. Like you can see that in the stats, Kyle Kuzma is like basically being a breakout rookie that nobody didn't think was going to basically, you know, put up anything. Obviously from the summer league, he played good, but nobody didn't think it was going to be carried on. And Jordan Clarkson looking like a sixth man out there, guys.
I don't know if that's the motive, but again, you want to put a team out there that nobody's going to sit and laugh at you. Nobody's going to come on the court and say, "Oh yeah, we got the Lakers. It's a wrap. It's over." You want to have some respect and some pride, you know, in the franchise, especially when it's the Lakers. You know, that's an all-time great franchise in all of sports. So if you ask me, I think their motive is just to put the best team out on the floor that they can. They're going young. It's obvious. Just rebuild the right way. And, you know, let your play be the talk. You know, let your play be your talk before you.
So, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I see. I agree with you completely. It's just putting the best team out there that you can. I mean, you got a younger team, so you've got to make ends meet pretty much. And I think that's what you're doing. I mean, let Brandon – and honestly, like, I'm impressed. Like, I had no faith in Brandon Ingram at all. He's impressed me so far this year. So I can take pretty much what I said about him now. But, yeah, I'm impressed. They're just letting their team develop, though.
He ain't no KD, though. He ain't going to be no KD,
no.
Though.
No,
I told you that.
Hell,
no. Tell you that right now.
No, he's never going to be a KD.
He just don't have it, bro. I feel like he's just laid back. Like, yeah, when he gets serious, I feel like he can be a possible person that can score, but I feel like it's going to develop later on in his career.
He's more like a –
like, I think
he's a D-League version of KD. No, I wouldn't call him that, but –
nah, I feel like he's a more type of Aaron Gordon. I mean, besides from, like, a 41-point game from Aaron Gordon – for the Magic, I feel like he's an Eric Gordon type shot with a jump shot, obviously. Like, he can create for himself or whatever, but dude pretty much is just tall and athletic for defensive purposes. That's what it seems like so far. He has some skills on offense. It just hasn't truly flourished yet. It's just that's all it's going to be until he figures out a way to score on offense just by himself. And, I mean, the Lakers are so – I feel like they're so highly talented in talent that it doesn't even matter if he scores that much. I feel like Lonzo, once he comes to his own, I don't feel like Lonzo's obviously going to be scoring the league, but once he comes to his own, he'll start putting up 12 points. Randall, I feel like, is one of the big pieces for the Lakers, especially post-game, especially him rim-running. Like, I feel like it's going to be a lot of pieces for the Lakers for them to score. I think it's the more impact is just defensively. I feel like they have the length and size to basically play defense, but they just don't have the smarts and IQ to play defense. And that's what you have to instill in these young guys. That's why you brought veterans in to basically make sure that these guys is playing at their best. And pretty much just make sure the franchise players or the players that you have set in stone just basically be there next year. You know, just get there, get to that level next year, or get to the level in the next 2 years or so. And who knows, you may have a lot of free agency that possibly want to come to L.A. just for the simple fact of these young players being here. Just for the simple fact, just looming. So that's all I got to say with Lonzo.
Nah, don't do that. Don't do that. We already know where you headed. Bro, if LeBron goes to LA, as a rap, I swear to God, I ain't watching no more LeBron, dude. I'm obviously gonna watch LeBron, yeah, but if you're gonna be in the damn finals, but I better not see that happen, dude. I better not see that happen. I ain't trying to see that. Yeah, stay his ass in Cleveland.
I mean, he said pretty much during the offseason press conference that part of media day that he is planning on staying with the Cavaliers. But the thing is, he never ever discussed anything with a contract extension. You already know, guys, about LeBron. We're pretty much on his final year. He acts like he wants to stay with the team, but he is more focused on how the team performances later on to the year, and then decides from there whether he wants to stay or not. It's pretty much like a final game.
We know what he's about. Ain't nobody buying that shit. This is my city. I'm Cleveland. Come on, man. I don't know who he think he's playing, dude. He ain't playing us. That ain't in
his
DNA.
From one Rich Paul agent to another, we'll go straight to now the topic of Eric Bledsoe. And
here we go.
Just from a – yeah. I know from a Sun, I feel you from a Suns fan perspective. Like, it's just looking at this, like, first the team goes in turmoil. It seems like the team is headed off to a very bad start. Pretty much Earl Watson gets fired. Team gives up almost 120 points per game just for the first two games. But it looked bad at the beginning, like, completely. And then all of a sudden, Eric Bledsoe, who I feel like just had mixed emotions just throughout the seasons, and who knows whether it was a real tweet about him trying to get out or anything. But again, I feel like it was more conscious, but again, it's my opinion. But regardless, Eric Bledsoe most likely is heading out. GM pretty much said, we have no nonsense here with him basically sending out the tweet, I don't want to be here no more. What do you guys think about the Eric Bledsoe situation? What do you guys think he may land at? There's been already teams that's been talking to him, such as Milwaukee, New York, even other teams that's out there. Where you feel Eric Bledsoe will land at, and what you think about the Suns situation? Keanu. Let's start off with Keanu. He's the Suns fan. You got to respect this team.
That's what we're doing.
We have to respect this team.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Gotcha.
All right. I'm breaking it down for y'all like this. He don't want to be here. He didn't want to be here. I ain't buying all of these reports that, you know, that he actually wanted to be here. He was at a hair salon when he tweeted. No. He didn't want to be here, dude. I wouldn't want to be in Phoenix. So I know damn sure you don't want to be in Phoenix. Okay, let's just be real. Your organization is a mess. This is one of the worst. This is one of the most horribly run teams I've ever seen in my life. Seriously. They need to get – one of the fans, I believe, put up a GoFundMe or something like that just to get Sarver out of ownership. That's how bad this is. No, he needs to leave. Him and McDonough, they need to go. I'm sorry. I'm done with both of them. They've made horrible decisions, let go of great talent. We had Isaiah Thomas. We had Goran Dragic. We had the Morris twins. Gerald Green when he was balling out. I don't understand the moves they make. I don't. As a Suns fan, I'll be honest with you. I can't wait for the day I can wave at them. Just say, peace. I ain't going to miss you. It's like talking to your ex. Bro, bounce. I don't want to see you again. They out. I'm done with them. I think Bledsoe, as much as I love him, he's one of my favorite players in the league. I loved watching him in a Suns uniform. It's time for him to go. And this is one of the moves I can actually get behind with front office. He doesn't want to be here. It's blatantly obvious. I believe all the reports that he requested a trade in the offseason, that he was set to go to Cleveland and go play with his only LeBron. Send him away. Trade them away, and let's get younger. Let's get some pieces who actually want to be here. Because I'll tell you this: if this long trend continues, Booker's not going to want to stay. Marquese Chris isn't going to want to stay. Of course, they picked up the fifth-year option, but they could easily just come out and say, "Look, I don't want to play for this organization. I don't want to play for you guys. We're not going to win here.
Right.
I'll make a lot of money, but I don't want to win. I mean, I want to win." Then I don't want to be here. They need to shake things up fast, or else they're gonna lose a lot, and then it won't be an option. They will get kicked out. I swear to God, I'll take a Greyhound because I ain't trying to put that many miles on my car. off of the Greyhound to Phoenix just to personally drag this man out of his office. And I know all of Phoenix is going to do it with me. Go ahead, George. Please, go ahead. That's my insight, guys.
All right, I'm going to make this as quick as possible.
Gotcha.
Real quick.
Gotcha.
I can give a care. I don't care. All right, so let's just a little backstory. Not even a backstory. It's a quick insight. Everybody knows I go to University of Kentucky. So everybody knows I support all my – I mean, it's not my favorite team, my favorite college, but, hey, everybody knows I support all my all the Kentucky players. Eric Bledsoe is a Kentucky player. So but when
Knight.
It comes to this – Brandon Knight, yeah, Devin Booker, the whole Pelicans team, the Kings team, whatever, though. Who I can give a care – I don't care where Eric Bledsoe goes anymore. I think that is the I don't like people that do that. You act – that's a female move. I don't care what anybody says. It's a female move, and he's acting like a female. It, like, you go on Twitter, and you tell people that you don't want to be here – when you can go tell the management, when obviously that's all you have to do, but no, you want to go on Twitter and do it. That's the same thing with Martavis Bryant with the Steelers. I don't want to be here. Get me out of here. And then you try to blame him and say he was on a salon. Bullshit. You ain't in a damn salon. You just don't want to be here. Just say it. Just say it outright. You don't have to say in lie. You say he was at a salon. You said it. We all know that. I don't care where he goes. I can care less where he goes. I mean, I like Eric Bledsoe, but you know what? You're injury prone, for one. So, yeah, you can be good. You had the potential to be good, but guess what? You're always injured. I'm not going to give that much up for you. Granted, the Suns not going to get too much in return from them. I mean, the best they can get from him probably is a pick. They're not going to get a player-wise. I mean, a good player for him. I mean, I wouldn't give up a great player for him. But, hey, granted, something is something if somebody doesn't want to be there, but – I don't want him on my team. I mean, if I was a Suns, I wouldn't want him on my team. He said he doesn't want a beer. Well, forget him. Get him out of there. Quick as possible. Get him out of there.
That's it. I don't want him anymore. I have a Bledsoe jersey. I have two, actually. I loved Eric Bledsoe while he was here. But you're right. He was always hurt. As good as he was always hurt. And again, I never thought he was a great point guard. I thought he had the Russell Westbrook syndrome. I think he needed the ball in his hands to be effective most of his career. Get him out. You don't want to be here? Get the hell out, bro. You ain't going to sit here and play me and tell me that you was at a hair salon with your girl and you wanted to leave. No. We ain't that stupid, bro.
You're just,
we ain't that stupid.
We
want to go.
All right, so – First things first, from both of y'all comments. So this is pretty much what I heard.
Come on, Ruff!
That's pretty much what I heard. It's just pretty much, it's plain and simple. Like, Eric Bledsoe just disgraced the Suns organization, just basically saying that on Twitch. I mean, not Twitch, on freaking Twitter, just basically saying, I don't want to be here no more. Like, you just can't blatantly say that out on Twitter. Like, It just shows softness, I feel. It's just like, and if you went out of the beauty salon, you could have just said it. I don't care if your girl gets mad. It's still going to be funny to Twitter if you just said, I don't want to be in this beauty salon no more. You could have just said it straight out like that. No, he just put it in straight context, in a straight sentence, I don't want to be here no more. Referring to the game, knowing how the team is doing, you know, he could have been a little bit smarter with that. Regardless of not how he thought about it, it's still wrong. And he obviously still talked to management even before, after the situation. And regardless or not, he's not staying, regardless. It does not matter. Eric Bledsoe just needs to get out of there. Team is young. They always plan on trying to trade him in the first place, I feel. Even though they was giving him chances, he's just become injury prone. I feel like the team is going to a different direction as it is. As soon as they drafted Devin Booker, as soon as they drafted all these players on the team, it just seems like the Suns are just going in a different direction compared from to the days where they had Jeff Hornacek and Eric Bledsoe was leading them to a near-close playoff berth. It just seems that those days just died out now. It's just more just rebuilding, getting these young players the talent, just like the Lakers was when they – had to withdraw from Kobe, the Kobe syndrome, where it was just fangirling it up. Same thing for the Dallas Mavericks. Soon enough, they're going to have the Dirk Nowitzki syndrome. It's just like you have to let go of him. And
shit,
you have to let him go now. You got
to
let go of him.
Two back-to-back wins without him. With Mike James and Tyler Hero. Peace. You're cancer, dude. Peace. We don't need you anymore.
I mean, also you got to think about it like this, too. Jay Triano isn't like a new coach that just comes in like most of the assistant coaches is. Like, dude's been in around the league for a long time. So, I mean, like, I feel like the head coach and presence also is there. I mean, Earl Watson was more of a player coach, but I feel like he knew what he was doing out there, to be honest with you, Keanu. Like, I'm not putting entirely blame on the management of the Suns. I just feel like it's more a little bit more head coaching, a little bit.
Don't get me started on Earl Watson. I already went off on Bledsoe. Don't get me started on Watson. God, I hate that man. Oh, my God. This man, he didn't know what a timeout was. He would let these kids run themselves into the ground and just walk around with an angry face on. Dude, you suck. You're horrible. I don't need a coach who's going to be buddy-buddy with the players. I need you to coach the game. Excuse my language. You are fucking horrible. Go. Get the hell out. I want Pitino. I'll be blatantly honest. I want Rick Pitino.
You don't want Slick Rick.
Yeah, man. Because just in general, like, he just needs – I feel like the Suns franchise is good. Has it is. With the young pieces, again, they have to get everything together as far as the management goes. It's just been a terrible, few months for them. It's just like it's nothing there. Like compared, it's like no, how can I say it? There's no identity. There's no leadership there. It's like nothing. There's no culture in Phoenix. Like people in Phoenix know it's a rebuilding time, but they don't have an identity. They don't have like what the Lakers have compared to like, all right, we bring in Lonzo. We're trying to bring back Showtime. To the Lakers. You're trying to bring back the identity of, you know, having Showtime. Where to the Phoenix Suns is just a bunch of young rookies. Yes, we're excited about the rookies. We're excited about the young players. But we don't know what we want our team to be based off of. Like, is it going to be our running gun style? Is it because, like, we have a good passing team or a good defense? It's nothing there to basically determine
yet. And they're not drafting for it either. That's the thing. I like Josh Jackson. I like Devin Booker, but you're not drafting to run a fast-paced offense. Those are not the kind of guys
right.
you need. Booker likes to have the ball in his hands and likes to isolate and score, whether it be through the post or whether it be through isolation up top, off the dribble. You know, I mean, he's great. Don't get me wrong. He's great. But that's not the kind of guy you need to run that fast-paced offense. So what are you doing? I don't know. And that's a credit to the GM, Ryan McDonough. What are you doing? What
right.
are you drafting? What is our game plan? Well, you know how I know it's bad? When me and my father took a flight out to Phoenix, because we do it for every year with one of our teams, whether it be the Bills or the Suns, we always go out to a game. I went to Phoenix. I couldn't find any Phoenix Suns gear anywhere other than the team shop. Nowhere.
Oh,
I've never seen that before, dude. We're in Walmart. We're in the mall. All these different stores looking for Suns gear. And I swear to God, I see more gear than everyone else's team. Than my own team. In its own city. It's an embarrassment, dude. I say I'm a Suns fan proud, but deep down in my heart, dude, it hurts every time I say it. I'll be blatantly obvious, honest with you. It hurts. It's an embarrassment. We were a great franchise, and now we're a laughing stock of the NBA. Anyways, because you had to raise my damn blood pressure on my way back from work. But let's move on to the next thing. I can't keep doing this, bro. I can't keep doing this.
We're going to move on because I feel like we said way too much about Eric Bledsoe already as it is. So let's move on from another point guard to another. What's up with Markelle Fultz, guys, with the Philadelphia 76ers? Now, we're trusting the process. Obviously, we know Embiid is back. He's playing really good. We know Ben Simmons is back. He's been putting up good numbers. I mean, been almost near triple-doubles almost every game that he has played in. And not only that, Redick seems to fit in. Everybody seems to fit in. It's just they can't close out games. Now, it's not more importantly about the Sixers closing out games. We're more focused on what's going on with Markelle Fultz. What's up with his shot? What's up with his free throw? I know he got injured and all that, but it just doesn't seem like he's getting off to the right foot. And regardless of this injury, it just doesn't seem he's confident out there. What do you guys think about Markelle Fultz? I start off with George. You got it?
Yeah. Let me get this. I'm gonna keep this simple and plain, too. He wasn't my number one pick anyway. I'm going to tell you what I told people about him, what I told people about Ben Simmons. Well, Ben Simmons is my rookie of the year. I said he's my rookie of the year, but I'm going to say that for later. But the difference between what him and Markelle Fultz was in college that I saw, Markelle Fultz led his team to 7 wins. Granted, you can say his team wasn't as good as Ben Simmons' team, but Ben Simmons' team was bad too. He led his team to 16 wins. I don't want a guy that's supposed to be the best college player that had 7 wins on my team in college. That means what in the hell were you doing to elevate your team to get 7 wins? 7 wins?
Especially at the point guard position.
Right. It's like, oh, he dropped. Okay, I see what the problem is. All right, so with Fultz, it's like pretty much, I feel like one thing is that we all know that Simmons is going to be the primary point guard. Like, that's all of a sudden. We all know that Fultz, I feel like, needs the ball in his hands to score. It just seems that way. It just feels that way. I don't feel like he can play off ball with the ball. Yes, he can be a solid spot-up shooter, especially from his college rating. But again, with all the injuries, what he's been doing to his body, yes, he bulked up for the NBA, but it just seems like he's just, you know, not comfortable out there. Obviously, with the injury, it's going to make a person feel uncomfortable, but I just feel like he's just not comfortable without the ball in his hands. It just seems that way. It feels that he can't, like, I feel like he could play with Simmons, but you have to give it some time. Again, with the first games that's coming through, I feel like folks just need some time to basically adjust to the Sixers offense, how they want to run it, whether he's going to be the secondary ball handler or he's just going to play off ball. He's just going to have to learn. Again, rookie just came in pretty much like George said too, the difference between Ben Simmons and Fultz. Fultz, again, when he was in college, just only led his team to 7 wins. Ben Simmons literally seems like he wasn't even trying out there, or like compared to what he's doing now. Just seems like he just wasn't trying out there, bro. And he got his team to 16 wins. So it just seems like it's just a huge drop-off in talent compared to the 2 first-round picks from both years. I mean, from both years, it seems like it just seems like, you know, how can I say this? It just seems like Simmons is just the more dominant, obviously the more dominant player. It just seems like Fultz is going to be one of those rookies where it's just going to take him to year 2 to figure out everything. I feel like during midseason you'll see flashes of his game completely, but I feel like he's talented enough to do what he needs to do, but I feel like by year 2 that's when the true development of Fultz will show out. Right now Simmons is going to be the main guy. He's going to be that guy in Philadelphia, also with Embiid as well. We're not going to credit him out as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tricky situation with him because you know the talent is there. Like, you just know it. You're looking at it and you can see he's a baller, dude. He got skills. He can play. But I do think the injury is lingering over him. I think, you know, especially when it comes to your jump shot, dude. When you're coming off of an injury and you haven't been really playing too much, you've been rehabbing, man, sometimes it's really hard to get that jump shot going again, especially when you're in the NBA. You're talking about the top tier talent in the world. So credit that to the situation. You know, obviously the injuries, I feel it's lingering. But you made a good point. You made a very good point. I think George made it as well. He doesn't seem like the kind of guard who can be effective without the ball in his hands. I really do feel like he needs the ball in his hands to be that guy that got drafted.
Right.
And when you go to the NBA, that's not going to help you, especially if you get drafted to a team of 76ers, where they just drafted Ben Simmons, a ball-dominant player. So now you got two ball-dominant players. If this is the situation that falls, obviously we don't know for sure what he's going to be. He's a rookie. It's the beginning of the season. I'm not going to judge him just yet. But if that is the case, you got a tough situation ahead of you. It's not going to be easy, because when you're a ball-dominant player, it's extremely difficult for you to help your team aside from scoring some points. And you can be one of the best scorers in the league. You won't win if you don't pass. So in that situation, I really do hope that's not the case with him. I hope he, you know, turns out to be everything we thought he would be, because he's a hell of a player.
Right.
I just don't know how much he's going to be able to give them without the ball in his hands. You're a point guard. You need to be a point guard. I don't need you to score. I need you to be a point guard. But then again, the 76ers could use a whole lot of everything right now. So it's a tough situation, but, I mean, hey, we just going to have to wait and see with them. Like they say, trust the process, right? We've been saying that for many years, but, yeah, let's trust it, man. Let's trust that shit.
You gotta see if we can go from right there. So now, guys, we're going to do a little quick segment. I'm going to initiate the horn. I already got it set up to high volume so everybody can hear it. We have 13 minutes in the show, so I wanted to break down quickly the early predictions of seedings, awards, surprise playoff teams, and snubs, and obviously the Rookie of the Year, which is pretty much with awards. So we're going to go straight to it. I'm going to give you guys exactly, since we only got 12 and a half now, I'm going to give you guys about six, since we got three of us, we're going to give everybody 4 minutes at least to say who's going to be the early prediction. So I'm going to start with you, George. We're going to start off with Eastern Conference, Western Conference, MVP, your surprise teams and snubs, and then whatever thoughts that you have going out to the show. So we're going to begin now. Go ahead.
Eastern Conference Cavaliers, should that even be a question? They're always going to be my favorite over there. Western Conference is the Warriors still. They're still dominant. That's, like, never going to change for me until, like, they just break up. The Warriors, that's my finals pick also. Just going to break that in stone, too. It's the finals pick also. MVP. I'm saying LeBron James, which hurts me a lot because I'm not a LeBron fan. But LeBron is going to win MVP this year. I would like to see KD win it again, but I'm going to go with LeBron. Surprise team is going to be the Clippers. They're going to make the playoffs under Blake Griffin being I'm not saying they're going to make it past the first round, but they're going to make the playoffs. Everybody think they lost that trade I feel like they did lose the trade, but I think they have enough to make the playoffs, though, in the Western Conference, even though the Western Conference is a hard conference. But I still think they have enough to win that division. Getting the playoffs in that conference. And then, what else? Oh, Rookie of the Year. I'm going with Ben Simmons. I said once he starts playing again, he's going to get Rookie of the Year anyway. I've liked Ben Simmons in college. I liked it when he came out. I see he's going to be very special. So far, I mean, these first couple of games, he looks like he is. So hopefully he keeps it up. Sixth Man of the Year is going to go to Eric Gordon easily if he keeps playing the way he does. Well, he's Spartan now, though, so I don't know. It depends about him. If not, if he doesn't, I'm going to say depending on if Wade gets his act together, Wade might actually get himself a Sixth Man of the Year award, so don't be surprised, guys, on that one. And then lastly, we get the closing thoughts at the end. Go ahead. Go next.
No. I didn't even hit the horn, bro. You still got like 2 minutes to go.
You know, here's my closing thoughts then, you know, because I don't have too much to say left. One, Eric Bledsoe, you are downright disgusting for going on Twitter and saying that you want to trade. You've lost all my respect. Martavis Bryant, same with you. You're going to go on Twitter like a female to ask for a trade. You lose all my respect. I don't have respect. I don't. This is a sport. This is not time to – this is not Twitter fingers turn to trigger fingers. No, we don't got time for that. We're a business organization trying to run a sport for the fans. Whoa. Markelle Fultz, fix your form, dude. I don't understand. It wasn't like that in college. I don't care if you're hurt or not. I don't want that excuse that you're hurt either. I hate people that use that excuse when you're hurt. And then people try to say, oh, well, he's playing well. That's the end of my time, but oh well. Markelle Fultz, fix your own form. Eric Bledsoe, grow pair.
Hey, Keanu, you gotta go. You got pretty much being 9 minutes of the. You got 9 minutes. Go ahead.
I'm taking the whole nine. Nah. All right. Eastern Conference. Obviously, the Cavs are gonna say, yeah, I'm sorry. There's nobody in the Eastern Conference gonna compete with them. Nobody gonna contend. If Gordon Hayward was healthy, I would say maybe the Celtics could give them a run for their money. But it's gonna be the Cavs coming out of the Eastern Conference. Western Conference, Utah Jazz, non-play. It's going to be the Warriors. We all know what's up. The Warriors are going to take it. There's still nobody who can contend with them. Chris Paul made a horrible decision going to the Rockets. Even though y'all won that first game, KD hit that shot. Y'all got lucky. If you would have went to San Antonio, I would have picked the Spurs. But until then, the Warriors are going to take it all. They're going to beat the Cavs soon. Okay. What's next? Surprise teams? I think it is surprise teams. I'm going to say Portland takes the next step. I'm going to say Portland makes it to the Western Conference Finals this year.
Ooh.
Damian, E.J. McCollum has been cooking up for a while. I think he's ready. I think they're going to surprise a lot of people. I'm still not sold on either Houston or OKC. Spurs, I mean, I can never count them out. I love them to death, but I think Portland – I think they got something for the league this year. Just wait. MVP, Giannis. I think he's a baller. I think he's going to win MVP. I think he's going to put up some of the best numbers we've seen in a while. Rookie of the year, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say Dennis Smith. I know Jeremy somewhere in where is he on? Bristol? Somewhere in Bristol right now, he's got a cold shake. Like, they said, what? Hold on. Who said that? Who said Dennis Smith? Bro, this kid is a scorer. I mean, he's going to do it in the NBA. He just finds the basket. It is what it is. That's who he is. It's in his DNA. I think he's going to take Rookie of the Year by far. I think it's not even going to be close, to be real with you, but that's just me.
Right.
What was left? Sixth Man of the Year?
Yep.
Sixth Man of the Year, I'm going to say Dwayne Wade, too. I think he's too good to be putting up these mediocre numbers. I think he's just in a little bit of funk right now, trying to get used to the Cavs system. I think he should have been coming off the bench anyways. I never thought he should have been starting. I'm going to go ahead and say Dwayne Wade, once he gets his rhythm, it's going to be a wrap. I think him and LeBron are going to recreate some magic over there. Last notes, if I missed anything, defensive player, I think Kawhi is going to take it. Last notes for everybody. Phoenix, please do something. This man saw Valentine, please. Right? Please do it. Portland, I want to see you guys take the next step. I want to see Portland win, man. They've been cooking up for too long. These two guys are too nice. Please do something. Take out the damn Clippers. Take out the damn Thunder and take out the damn Rockets. Please. You ain't going to beat the Warriors. We all know that. But please do something. Dame Dollar, get off the mic for a second. Stop spitting. And just play ball for a second. Man. And beat these damn teams. I can do something, man. Other than that, I'm interested to see what this All-Star Weekend is going to be like. I'm not too much in favor of picking teams. But you know what, hey. It's going to be a good mix-up. Now we're going to see Western Conference players with Eastern Conference players. So, might be fun, might be a shit show, either way, we all going to watch it, and we all going to talk shit about it. So let's just get on with it, man. That's, I mean, how much more time I got left?
You just got it all in time. Just in time. Just in time.
Beautiful.
Like you just hit, like you just hit the buzzer beater, pretty much. So,
baby, let's go.
So, if my Eastern Conference and Western Conference, obviously Cavaliers and Warriors, I was more going down the line, like basically in terms of season, like basically I feel like Charlotte, Philadelphia would definitely make or have the possibility of making a 7th seed, you know, just basically going down the line. I feel like the Washington Wizards, I feel like the Boston Celtics could get the second spot, but I feel like the Washington Wizards will ultimately get it. I feel like the Celtics has just been put together, and they're not going to have a lot of time. They're going to have some time, but I don't feel like they're going to figure it out right away. I feel like the Wizards is going to take that second spot, and Boston will take the third spot, but I feel like it's going to be a different outcome. As far as the Eastern Conference goes, or the Eastern Conference Finals, definitely is going to be a matchup between the Cavaliers and the Boston Celtics. I feel like the Wizards are not going to have the steam to just get there and basically play. They always messed up somehow, some way. They always mess up and not end up getting to the conference finals. So that's how I feel about that. A surprise team I feel like is going to be Indiana. I think a lot of people have been sleeping on that team. I feel like they have pieces, especially in a very degraded Eastern Conference. I feel like they do have players that can attribute to them possibly getting to the playoffs or making a push for the eighth seed. Especially in the Eastern Conference Finals. Now for the Western Conference Finals, I feel the Clippers, as you said, is a surprise team. Not many people are looking at them just because of Chris Paul, but they do have players. They did get very good role players that can basically get them there. Again, like George said, they're not going to make it out the first round, but they do have players. And as long as Blake Griffin stays healthy, I feel like that team's going to get there no matter what. Rockets is not – I feel like the Rockets is going to do something, but they ain't going to do anything extraordinary. I see them getting bounced out by the second round by a team like San Antonio, who will always still be up top no matter what happens, no matter how good these teams get. I feel like Thunder will probably be matched up with the Golden State Warriors in the Western Conference. I feel Portland, just based off your response, Keanu, I feel like they will make it to the second round but get bounced out as well. I feel like Golden State and OKC will make it to the conference finals, and ultimately I feel like Golden State is going to take it and make it to the finals against the Cavaliers. My prediction for MVP, simple and plain, I feel Giannis is going to get it. Unless the Bucks doesn't win or don't win a lot of games, obviously the only players that is going to be acceptable for it is players off the Warriors. Either a player off the Thunder named Russell Westbrook or LeBron James. So, honestly, I feel like LeBron's going to get it with the Cavaliers. Now, for the, as I already said, the surprise team is snubs for my team. Now, Rookie of the Year, definitely going to Ben Simmons. Guy that averages near a triple-double for the first three games and most likely is going to be a more ball-dominant person that's going to have the ball in his hands. Plenty of times, I feel like Ben Simmons is going to definitely earn it. Sixth Man of the Year is a toss-up to me, but I feel like Jordan Clarkson has the ability to get it. Depend just basically how Lou Will played on a bad team and almost got it, and pretty much the comparison between Lou Will and Eric Gordon. I feel like Jordan Clarkson has a chance to get it. I feel like Eric Gordon will get it regardless. He's probably one of the best six men in the league, comparing from himself Jamal Crawford. But, yeah, I feel like Eric Gordon's going to get it. As far as defensive player, I feel this year is going to be either from is going to be either Draymond Green or Kawhi Leonard. I feel like Kawhi Leonard will get it. I only got 6 seconds. Wow. All right. Yeah, as far as my final thoughts, New York Knicks, I don't know what you guys are doing with Willie Hernan Gomez, man, but you need to play that, man. I feel just why you have Kyle Quinn playing, like why – I know you're trying to sell these players. I know you're trying to get their value up so people can get them, but come on. You got to make the right decision for the future. I don't know what you guys are doing. As far as the Eric Bledsoe situation, you got to get him out of there. Just get him out there immediately. I don't know what's going on with your team, with the Suns, but they got to get him out of there. It's for the future. You have to do it for the future. And for the last thoughts, my last and final team, the Pelicans, you guys need to have a backup plan ready just in case AD or Cousins do ever leave. So that's it, guys. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Angry Fanatics Show. We're out. Peace out, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. We hope to see you next week.